Raise your hand if you are a teacher who likes when things get a little bit easier in your teacher life. Literally every hand goes up. I don't even need to see you right now to know that you're like, huh, obviously. And that's exactly why I wanted to re-release one of the top played episodes of the last season of This Teacher Life. Because that episode was all about hosting the easiest, most effective parent-teacher conferences, honestly, that you have ever had. I know that many of you are listening to this during the summer, so your teacher heart and head might not be already looking ahead to October for fall first quarter conferences, or maybe your school does a conference again in the springtime. But here's the thing, if we want those conferences to be the most effective that they can possibly be and decrease the stress and the work that we have leading into those special nights, then I think that sometimes we just need a slightly different and slightly better structure. We know that education is changing, and sometimes we don't change our systems or our structure for the best interests of students and staff. And that's exactly what this episode is about. I can tell you that this is actually also involving a raisin, like the dried grape. If you are intrigued, then you definitely want to listen to these details. I want to start this episode by having a flashback to when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I remember there was a booth in our kitchen, which was super cool because none of my friends' kitchens had booths, but it was like a pizza parlor booth in our kitchen. And I remember at this time of the year, I would sit in the booth with my legs shaking, waiting for our family station wagon to pull into the driveway so I could meet my parents at the door and ask, how did it go? Because I was so nervous that the event that they had attended didn't go well for me. What was the event? Parent-teacher conferences. And here we are, as educators, right here in the now, approaching or maybe in parent-teacher conference season. Now, I look back on that instance where I'm nervous and my hands are sweating and I'm waiting for that station wagon to arrive, I look back at that and think, why was I nervous on how that was going to go? Honestly, I got good grades in school. I felt like my behaviors were good. I felt like I did a nice job as a student, but I was always on the edge of my seat to hear, what did my teacher say? What kind of conversation did you have? What questions did they ask you? Now, admittedly, I was a nervous child. I absolutely had like childhood ulcers for sure because everything made me nervous. But it was so fun when my parents would get home and we would sit down and they would show some of the work samples and they would say some of the nice things that my teacher said. Like, I loved those conversations. But now as a teacher, I get that there was a really big component missing. And I wonder if that component is also missing from your current parent-teacher conference system, your parent-teacher conference schedule. But the good news is we can fix that really easily right here in this episode, because this episode is all about how to host the best parent-teacher conferences that you've ever had. And all you need are raisins. You heard me correctly. Raisins. Like shriveled up grapes can actually bring your parent-teacher conferences to a whole new level. And that's what we're going to dive into right here, right now. But before we get into the episode, I want to give a huge shout out to the listener of the week who left a 5-star review on the Apple Podcast app. The listener of the week has a screen name of NI3S3M, and they said, no matter what you teach, there is something for you here on this podcast. I love it. I listen to the episodes in the car all the time. Monica's energy is amazing and her advice and ideas are fun, unique, truly helpful to kids. I feel like she is a friend that I would have too much time chatting with in the hallway. I feel like she just gets me, and I love and need her energy. It's keeping me young, it's helping me remember why I love my job, and having these helpful strategies makes the classroom a wonderful environment for myself and my students. Thank you, Monica. Well, thank you for leaving that 5-star review. Here's the thing. We probably would hang out in the hallway after the bell had gone off and chit-chatted a little bit. I can feel your energy in that review. So let's just call it what it is. We're practically teacher BFFs. Now, I want to give shout outs to all of these listeners of the week, and that could be you in a future episode. The reality is your written reviews simply help this podcast get into the car stereos, get into the hearts and heads of even more passionate teachers just like you. So if you haven't already left a written review, maybe hit pause on this episode, maybe take a mental note to leave a quick 20-second written review. It'll take you no time at all. And then that way you can continue being a loyal listener of this podcast and invite your teacher friends to be a part of it as well. So if you are ready to figure out what is that missing element to your conferences, you're going to find that out and a whole lot more in this episode. So let's get rolling. There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. So the white station wagon pulls into the driveway. The station wagon admittedly looked like the Ghostbuster mobile slash hearse from a funeral home. Pulls into the driveway. My parents walk through the door. They tell me everything that happened at my parent-teacher conference. And I remember saying at one point, why couldn't I just go with you? And I want to sit pause on that. If these are conferences about kids, then I think it was a valid question. Like, why can't I just go with you? Because I actually remember at one point in my elementary career, my parents went into the classroom. And outside of the classroom, there were chairs set up for the kids to sit in because they weren't even allowed to go into the classroom. And I think that we are just living in a space, we are living in a world where if we are having conversations about students, for students, the best interest of students, doesn't it make sense, like 95% of the time, to have students at the table with us? And that is why I am a huge believer in student-led conferences. That a student can have a very powerful, very effective conversation that they lead if we give them the structure to make that happen. In fact, I don't even call my conferences parent-teacher conferences. I don't even call them student-led conferences. I call mine raisin reunions. And what do I mean by a raisin reunion? I want anyone who is raising that kid to be at the table. So we call it parent-teacher conferences, but in my area, and maybe in yours as well, We got a lot of people who aren't necessarily like the parent. It's grandparent, it's an aunt, it's an uncle, it's a foster parent, it's somebody who has taken on the role of a parent because they're an older sister and they have said, you know what, this is the best place for you to live so you can be a successful student. So I call them raisin reunions because anyone who is raising that kid is invited into my classroom to have an important conversation with their students. I want to have this vibe of like, literally, all are welcome to have these productive conversations. And so is it just rebranding? Yeah, that's absolutely what it is. It is a rebranding on a parent-teacher conference, but it is student-led. In fact, before these conferences ever begin, like 2 to 3 weeks before I ever start these conferences, I am emailing or printing a letter to give to the kids, to my students, for them to give to their raisins. In fact, I'm going to literally read you what it says. And if you're like, oh man, I got to type this all out. Spoiler alert, at the end of this episode, I will just tell you the link where you can get all of these resources that I'm going to be referencing, because I've got all of this packaged for you. So you can just literally go and download it. But like 2 or 3 weeks before these raisin reunions are getting held at a school, I say, dear raisins, we are very excited for the upcoming conferences that are happening, and I give the date. You probably know these as parent-teacher conferences, but I like to call them raisin reunions. Why raisin reunions? First off, I appreciate all of the amazing adults who are raising our students. Moms, dads, grandparents, step-parents, aunts, uncles, neighbors, all of you play an important role in the lives of students, and I want to recognize that. Another important part of raising reunions is that they're student-led. Having your child at the table with us will create open, honest, productive conversations about their progress and where they want to go from here. When all of us unite, teacher, student, and raisins, it is a reunion to celebrate their successes so far and explore goals for the future too. I look forward to seeing you for these special conferences. Here is how you can get signed up. And then I explain my sign-up procedure. My sign-up procedure is pretty simple. Like, I create a free link through Calendly, which is a really great resource for scheduling, but maybe you already have something built into your email system through Google Meeting or through Google Calendar. But that is the actual letter that I send out to raisins 2 to 3 weeks ahead of time, because I'm trying to be incredibly proactive. Now, when I tell students about this structure, do they love it? Not really at first, okay? Especially middle school students, it's not their most favorite. I would say elementary students like this so much more because they see it as an opportunity to brag and boast about themselves. Middle school students don't like the idea at first, but when they are sitting at the table with their raisin and they have the undivided attention, cell phones aren't in their hands, screens aren't there, no tablets, it's a technology-free thing. And they get that one-on-one time with their raisin to truly hear each other. Dang, that's powerful. So I make sure that parents, raisins, are absolutely aware of the structure in all of my communication. And then what I like to do is about 2 to 3 weeks before the raisin reunions are actually happening, I start keeping copies of student work as helpful artifacts for the day of the conferences. Sometimes I put these in file folders with the kid's name on it. Sometimes I file them away in Google Slides or Google Docs if you're a digital school, but I start keeping artifacts because I want my students to have structured conversations about work or projects that are an authentic representation of how they are doing so far this school year. In fact, about a week before raisin reunions, I will actually give those artifacts or give those files back to kids and have them do a reflection form. This reflection form is super, super helpful for both students and raisins because the reflection form causes kids to personally reflect on their progress, and here's my favorite part, give evidence of their learning and growing, It also helps their raisins see more than just a letter grade for their child. It's something for them to see, like, here is evidence of learning. Here's a conversation about it. And here's how I am going to guide the conversation from here. So let me just break down this form for you, okay? If you are listening to this in the car, I'm going to paint a visual. And again, all of the documents that I'm referring to for these Raisin Reunions, I'm going to share a link with you so you can have them. But I pass back all of the artifacts that I have saved for the kid. And then on the reflection form, they start, actually, by rating the school year on a scale of 1 to 10. So before we even talk about your assignments, before we even talk about your grade, can we just examine more of like, how you feeling about this school year? How you feeling about being a second grader? How you feeling about being a 10th grader or a second grader or a seventh grader, whatever grade level? Like, how is this school year going so far on a scale of 1 to 10? And then right after that, they have to explain why they picked that number. And honestly, admittedly, this is my most favorite part of the entire Raisin Reunion, because things that I don't know come up during that conversation piece. Things that their raisins don't know come up during that conversation piece. It's always interesting because a kid will say, overall, I would rate my school year a 10 out of 10. And a lot of raisins are like, seriously? You come home so grumpy. I did not know that you're liking this school year. And so it creates a really great conversation. Sometimes kids will be like, overall, I would rate this school year a 2 out of 10. And the raisin's like, really? That makes me so sad. Why would you rate it a 2 out of 10? And then the student has reflected why. Maybe because they hate the cafeteria food. Maybe because they don't like where they sit in the classroom. And then you as the teacher can be like, oh my gosh, I didn't know that you had beef with the person that you're sitting next to. I read that and like, I can totally make that better for you. So that's a really powerful piece. I also like for them to target a personal goal for the school year and an academic goal for the school year. Again, this is before we ever start talking about grades for the class. I want them to reflect on a personal goal, something that has nothing to do with grades. Is it about sports? Is it about friendships? Is it about organization? Like, what is something that you want to achieve this year? And then how can me, as your teacher, and this raisin who is here with you, how can we support you in that goal? And then finally, they're setting an academic goal. Like, does the student want to get on the honor roll for their very first time in life? Do they want to start becoming better test takers or better note takers? Do they want to get, you know, straight A's? What is their academic goal? Once we've done that, then we jump into like some actual data. On the reflection sheet, it says my current grade in blank class is this. So for me, it might be like my current grade in science class is a B minus, or my current grade in my advisory self-management class is a C plus. And then the student gets to write, here is a specific reason why I am earning that grade. And that's where they can start pulling some artifacts to prove that. This reflection piece is so freaking powerful, because then it's not just me and the adult trying to hash things out together. It's me or you as the teacher, the adult, and the kid having very structured, very systematic conversations based on a reflection that the student has already done to prepare for the Raisin Reunion. Now we're going to get more into why the raisin part is really, really special and puts smiles on faces and creates more smiles in your school here in a second. But we're going to take a quick pause because I want to give you all the details on where you can even find these documents. One of my goals as a teacher is to literally make your teacher life easier. And so what I did was I took all of my raise and reflection forms, all of my templates, all of the things that I do and use for my raising reunions to make them successful. I gathered up that entire thing and I actually made a raise and reunion student-led conference bundle. And it has 11 pages of things that you can do, that you can print, that you can send, that you can implement in your classroom to make these your most successful conferences of your entire life. I don't want you to reinvent the wheel. You can literally take all of this and be ready for your upcoming reunions. Raisin reunions, of course. To check this out, I'm going to put a direct link in the show notes. So all you have to do is click and download and roll out the red carpet for your raisin reunions. Or you can go to monicagenta.com/raisins. That's monicagenta.com/raisins to check out the entire bundle. I promise you, this is worth your time and worth your effort to check it out because it's going to save you so much time and so much effort on your end. Check that out at monicagenta.com/raisins. Now, one question that I get a lot of when it comes to my raising reunions is, how long are they? And what I like to do is I actually set a 15-minute time block. The goal is that each of the conferences are actually 10 minutes. Like each of these raising reunions are 10 minutes. But I like to create that 15-minute block to have just a little wiggle room so you can run and, you know, go potty, so you can fill up your water, so you have maybe just a little bit of wiggle room if one goes a little bit longer. But one of the thing in the Raisin Reunions bundle is like the 10-minute time block. And I want to break that down for you so you can see and hear minute by minute what is actually happening during these Raisin Reunions. So minute one is just welcoming everyone to the table, okay? Offering treats. I've got old man candy at my table. You know I got that old man candy at my table. And then I hand the student the artifact folder. That's going to have any of their work samples and then also their reflection form in that folder. Minute two is having the student read through their rating of 1 to 10 and explaining that rating and then also discussing that personal and academic goal. Minute number three is student asks the raisins. Like, notice, there's a pause. And then student asks their raisins, what questions or comments do you have about that? Isn't that powerful? Like, they have gone through and said, here's my rating, here are my goals, and then how empowering for the student. What questions do you have about that? Minute four is having the students read through their grades and their explanations of their grades. Minute five, student asks the raisin, what questions or comments do you have about my grades? I intentionally am having the students ask W questions because they are leading this. And I want the adults in the room to see how powerful it is for their kid to be taking ownership of that. Minute six, the students are sharing work samples from their folder. And then minute seven is usually the very first time where my voice is being heard because this is student led. At minute seven, I, as the teacher, am going to share three items. One, strength. So something like that this kid is doing so well. One area of growth. So something that I think that the kid could definitely improve on. And then I'm ending it with one more strength. I'm like Oreo-ing, right? Oreo, you know the Oreo effect. Cookie, cream filling, cookie. So it's strength, area of growth, strength. Sometimes you're like, girl, that cream filling, those are double stuffed Oreos for some kids. Those are triple stuffed Oreos for some. I hear you. One strength, one area of growth, one more strength. That's me piping in at around minute seven. At minute eight, I ask the raisin, what questions do you have for me at this time? I understand that it's student led, but what I have realized over the years and modified over the years is if you as the teacher don't say anything during these raisin reunions, during these conferences, it does sometimes frustrate the raisins because they're like, I drove all the way to the school and I didn't even hear from the teacher. And I think that's fair. That's an absolutely fair analysis. So I want to make sure that I'm having that conversation with the raisin at about minute 7 and 8. And minute 9, everybody at the table closes out the conversation. And the student can say, hey, raisin, hey, mom, hey, dad, hey, grandpa, whoever it is, any other things that you want to talk about? And then at minute 10, we thank everyone for coming and we share the raisin reunion gift. What's the raisin reunion gift? It's a little box of raisins. And I got a little label and it says, it was so grape meeting with you. Oh, pun bell. It was so grape meeting with you. Come on, that is good. That's some good stuff. And fear not, I even have the label already made for you. So you don't have to make a label. You're just going to print that and you're going to stick it on the box of mini raisins. That's what you're going to do. And that's the whole 10 minutes. Okay. That is the entire raisin reunion. And it is quick and it is effective and it is structured and it is streamlined. And all it did was take a little bit of proactive planning. The you reaching out proactively and saying, hey, conferences are a little different this year and let me explain how. Setting up that system on how parents can sign up for a time slot. And then training the students up. The one thing that I want to talk about before we end this is before the conferences happen. So either the day before Raisin Reunions or the day of Raisin Reunions, I do a training session with my students and I model how this should look like, sound like, and feel like. And so we do some role playing. That way kids are not just staring there awkwardly with their file folder. Like we actually practice this process. I am telling you, if you have never done student-led conferences before, this is it. Now, do I understand that this is not going to work for 100% of the student population? I absolutely understand that, okay? I do, I get that. Sometimes during a parent-teacher conference, there needs to be just open conversation, maybe without the student. And so I think that can happen as well. The student can step out of the room for a moment or whatever. I think that's possible. But I want you to think outside the box on how this could work. Another example is like kindergarten. Could this work for kindergarten students? I think it would have to be structured a little bit differently, but do I think lower elementary can have some benefits to a student-led conference like this? Yes. Ultimately, though, the number one goal of this episode is for not for you to take these details and implement them exactly as I do them, unless that's going to work. If that works, heck yeah, everything's good to go for you. But how can you take parts of this and then gradually start tweaking your current conference schedule? Like I said, throughout this episode, don't you be worrying about having to go do all this. You can go to monicagenta.com/raisins or go to the link in the show notes to get all of this ready to go, ready to print, ready to copy, ready to just fly through this structure and system. And I cannot wait to hear how your raisin reunions go. It's going to be super fun. And I think that they are a highly effective and also highly engaging and empowering tool that you could try this year. If you have any other questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to me. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode. If this is the first time that you've been with the This Teacher Life podcast, welcome. So glad you're here. You can hit subscribe to make sure that these are hitting your podcast platform every single Sunday night so you're ready for your commute to school on Monday morning. Thank you so much for listening to this episode, but most importantly, thank you for living This Teacher Life.